All right, so we are on, good morning, Abba Moshe. We're
Good
holding on
morning.
Yud-Zayin, Amud Aleph, second line. We were talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov as far as Erev Tevshilin, so that leads the Gemara into a different discussion about Shabbos and Yom Tov when they come out together, which is, of course, not the same thing, because Erev Tevshilin is when Yom Tov is before Shabbos, but it's still a related concept. Tana Rabbanan, Yom Tov Shechalvius b'Shabbos. If Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, now, Shabbos, you say seven brachas at Shchina Esrei, because you say a middle bracha that talks about Shabbos. Yom Tov, you say a middle bracha about Yom Tov. What about when it's both? Ves Shama Omer Mispal Shmoina. Ves Shama says you say eight brachas. V'Omer Shal Shabbos B'fnei Atzma V'Shal Yom Tov B'fnei Atzma. You say a separate bracha for Shabbos and then a whole nother one for Yom Tov. Or V'Sil Omer Mispal Sheva. V'Sil says no, you only say seven brachas. Mascha V'Shal Shabbos. You begin the bracha by talking about Shabbos, or Messiah Bishal Shabbos, you end talking about Shabbos, and you say something about the Yom Tov in the middle. Now, to begin with Shabbos, on the face of it, sounds like you begin with the Nusach of Shabbos, like Atachidashta or Yismach Moshe or whatever. However, that's not, however, the Maaseh, we see we don't do that. Rashi instead says what it means is when we get to Batitan Manu, we say Shabbos first. That's Yom Shabbos Hazeh, that's Yom whatever. And Messiah Bishal Shabbos, according to this Hillel, then would mean that you end off Mekadosh HaShabbos, not the Yisrael Vazmanim. Rebbe Omer, Af Choysim Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Vazmanim. And Rebbe says you do also end off the Bracha by mentioning the Yom Tov as well. So you mention both. So in other words, you start off with Shabbos, not in the sense that you start with the regular Nusach of Shabbos, but that the first thing you mention in the Bracha is Shabbos. Then mostly what you're mentioning in the Bracha is Yom Tov, and you finish off mentioning both of them, according to Rebbe. So the Gemara tells, Toni Tana Kameid Ravina, a Tana taught this Braisa in front of Ravina, and he taught it with the Loshen, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Shabbos v'Hazmanim. So he put Yisrael before Shabbos. Omalei, so Ravina says, that doesn't work. Otu Shabbos Yisrael Mekadosh Yilei. Shabbos, the Jewish people are the ones who make it holy. It's not. Why are you putting Yisrael before Shabbos? Zmanim, yeah, because Zmanim, they're not Zmanim. They don't have the Kedusha of Yom Tovim without the Jewish people being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. But V'al Shabbos Mekadosh V'Kayma. Shabbos is already Kodesh as it is. So even if the Jewish people didn't do anything, Shabbos would still be Shabbos. Elohim Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. You have to put it in the order. First Shabbos, which is an independent kedusha, then Yisrael, and then Vahazmanim, Omer of Yosef, Halacha k'Rebbi v'chidatoratz Ravina. So in fact, the Halacha is like Rebbe, the way that Ravina explained it, namely Mekadosh Shabbos v'Yisrael v'Azmanim. The Gemara actually in Brachas talks about, usually you have a concept, Ein Chosmin b'Shtayim. You don't finish a Bracha with a double expression. You don't say, for example, thank you Hashem for this and for this. But over here, it's not three different things. It's Mekadosh HaShabbos, Yisroel Vazmanim go together. You have to mention both of them because the fact is it is Shabbos and it is Yom Tov. But Yisroel Vazmanim is not three separate, Shabbos, Yisroel Vazmanim is not three separate things. It's Mekadosh HaShabbos, Yisroel Vazmanim, then the Yisroel who then are Mekadosh Vazmanim. And that's fine. So usually not even two, but sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes you're like, here, over here, it's Shabbos and it's Yom Tov. You have to say something. So, yeah. It's also the Ein Chosmin B'Shtayim is primarily when the two things have nothing to do with each other. Shabbos and Yom Tov is called Shabbos after all. In fact, for that reason, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about, you have the chart on the wall over here that the Rabbanim helpfully put together a couple of months back, where you have cases where on Yom Tov or on Rosh Chodesh, that's on Shabbos, if you said the bracha properly, but you finished Mekadosh HaShabbos, b'di'evet, and you didn't say Yisroel Vazmanim or Yisroel Barash HaChadoshim, then b'di'evet, you don't have to go back. Yeah.
How can you say that Shabbos is holy by itself when it has to be sanctified by the Jewish people? And without the Jewish people, it wouldn't be holy.
It was given to the Jewish people. And we said yesterday, in fact, that it was given to us privately. It was in the Gemara yesterday. You weren't here, but yeah. But the fact is that it exists independently of the Jewish people. It exists from Sheshes Yemei Bereshis, from Sheshes Yemei Bereshis, right after Hashem rested on that first Shabbos. Unlike the Zmanim, which don't exist, there is no Pesach or Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah or what have you if there's no Jewish people. So therefore, you have to put Yisrael before Vazmanim, but not before Hashabbos. An interesting side point over here. You were going to say something really real quick?
Just mentioned
about
the order of the mother.
Right.
The same question you
made. Mm-hmm. The order of Valamazan. Valamazan means the land that produces Mazan, right. So the same thing with Yisrael that make the Yom Tov. Well, that make the Yom Tov. This that we're mentioning, by the way, Ravina, an interesting point, actually. Usually, Ravina is the chaver of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was born only around the time that Rava passed away, or okay, maybe he was a younger man when Rava passed away still. Rav Yosef is even a generation before. How is Rav Yosef saying the halacha is like what Ravina says? So, in fact, one of the Mepharshim says, you see from this, there must have been an earlier Ravina, and you do have in a few places in Shas, really actually, Tolos Tanoim Amoroim, for example, says apparently it's really supposed to be Reb Avina. Really, regular Ravina is also the regular Ravina, the Chaver of Rav Ashi. His real name was Avina, and we call him Ravina for short, as in Rab Avina. But there was apparently an earlier one who is generally known in Shas as Reb Avina, but sometimes they compressed it into Ravina. Shabbos Shechalis b'Rashchodesh b'Cholosh Amoyed. What about when Shabbos is on Rashchodesh or Chol Amoyed? So now Rashchodesh and Chol Amoyed, we know that the other tefillos, you're not saying a special middle bracha. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're always saying a special middle bracha. But those you don't. You say Yalav Yavod. So Arvis Shachris U'Mincha Mispal Sheva. So by the other tefillos, that's what you do. You say seven brachas like every other Shabbos. And then you say Yalav Yavoi with your Shchodesh or B'yom whatever hazeh in the bracha of Ritzei. The reason why, by the way, in Ritzei, Rashi mentions elsewhere in Shabbos, since Ritzei is talking about that Hashem should return the Avoda to the Beis Mikdash, then it's an appropriate time to talk about Yalav Yavoi, that Hashem should remember us for good, which is the theme of Yalav Yavoi. And also, yeah, that Hashem should remember us for good, and we should be able to bring those korbanos again. If he doesn't go back, if he doesn't say it, then he has to go back. Rabbi Yezer says, instead of saying it in Ritzei, you say it in the bracha of Moedim. Same place where you would say Al Nisim. He holds that that's where you say Yalav Yavai. By Musaf, you begin with the bracha of talking about Shabbos. Again, like we said, you start by mentioning Shabbos before the Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh, or Masayim B'Shal Shabbos, and you finish again with Shabbos, Mekadosh HaShabbos, V'Oim HaKadosh HaSeh Yem Be'emtza. In the middle, you talk about Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shmuel, B'nei Shur, Rav Yechon, Ben Breka Oimrim, Kol Mokom Shehuzkach L'Sheva. They say not like the Tanakhama had said that you say by Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha that you just say Yalav Yavai. No, any time when you need seven brachas, Maschav B'Shal Shabbos and Masayim B'Shal Shabbos, Vayim Kedush HaSeyim Be'emtza, then you would say a Shmona Esrei similar to what we do in Musa, where the whole middle bracha would mainly be on the theme of Rosh Chodesh or of Yom Tov. However, Amar Rav Huna, Ein Halacha Ka'isa Azug, the Halacha is not like that pair of Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, rather like, so now Tosfos says, why don't we just say straight out, the Halacha is like the Tanakhama, because then we would misunderstand and say that it means that we say Mekadosh HaShabbos, and we don't. In previous Braisa, we said that the Halacha is like Rebbe, that we say Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim or Rosh HaChodoshim. So we just say Ein Halacha Ka'isa Azug, so therefore that's what we're left with. So Yom Tov then, each tefillah is going to be the nusach of Yom Tov with the Shabbos additions, and we're going to end off Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. On Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, by the other tefillahs except for Musaf, we're going to say regular Shabbos Shemona Esrei and just put in Yalav Yavai. And by Musaf, we're going to say the regular Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh Musaf with the Shabbos additions, with the exception of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, where there's a separate Nusach, you have Atu Yatzarta instead of Tikanta Shabbos. That it doesn't mention in the Gemara over here, but that the Gemara mentions elsewhere, I think in Masech the Shabbos, that you have a special bracha for when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos. We have a concept that we often say we want to be mefarsim Rosh Chodesh, because it's not so obvious when it is without looking at the calendar. So that might be a reason why we have a separate bracha, why we have a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh. It also talks about for weekday Rosh Chodesh, you have a separate one also, Rosh Chodesh and Lamcha, but yeah. Next, getting back to Eruv Etav Shilin. Omer of Chia Ba'ashi Omer Rav, Maniach Odom Erev Tchumen Miyom Tov L'Chaveire U'Masne. A person can make an Erev Tchumen on the first day of Yom Tov on behalf of the second day and make a T'nai. Now, to make an Erev Tchumen on Yom Tov itself for the day, that you can't do. But you can make for the next day Al T'nai. You can say, if today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is not, then I don't need this Erev at all, because tomorrow is a weekday. And if today is not Yom Tov and tomorrow is, then I'm making this Erev on behalf of tomorrow. Also, Omar Rava, Maniach Adam Erev Tavshilin, Yom Tov B'Chaveire U'Masne. Rava says the same thing with Erev Tavshilin. You didn't make your Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday before the 2 days of Yom Tov. Same idea. You make it on Thursday and you make it tonight. So the Gemara says, Man de Omar Erev Tchumin, Kol Shekein Erev Tavshilin. Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, who says that you could do that for Erev Tchumin, he would say, all the more so, you could do that with Erev Tavshilin. Because Erev Tchumin, you're actually being koinah something. You're actually being koinah a place that's going to be your reshus for Shabbos. Your spot for Shabbos. So for Yom Tov. So Kol Shekein Erev Tavshilin. How much more so than that it would work by Erev Tavshilin? Umando Amar Erev Tavshilin. But Rava, who says that it works by Erev Tavshilin, he would say Avol Erev Tchumin Loy. That would not apply to Erev Tchumin. You would not be allowed to make that from one day to the next. My time, because you can't be koina shvisa on Shabbos. There, in effect, in other words, well, Yom Tov we're talking about over here, but you can't be koina shvisa on Yom Tov even by a suffolk. It's one thing, Erev Tavshilin, you have covered Shabbos involved, but here, where it's strictly for the Yom Tov itself, not. Tosfos discusses over here about whether the matters of Kinyan in this case, also matters of Hachana, why it shouldn't be also on grounds of Hachana. Anyway, so that is the halacha. You're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin if you didn't make it the first day, Al Tanai, with the exception of the two. Well, so actually, so here, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov that this concept of making a Tanai, he says, only applied when they were Mekadosh Al Pi Ra'iyah. Once they switched over to the fixed calendar like we have now, then the Rambam says there's none of that anymore, because now it's not a suffolk anymore. Now it's a vaday that you have to keep the 2 days. So what kind of tnai are you going to make if today is Yom Tov, if tomorrow is Yom Tov? On the other hand, the Ravid disagrees, and most of the other Rishonim also do. The halacha is not like the Rambam in that, although I think the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe if you are making an Erev Tavshilin al Tanai on the first day, maybe you should be making it without a bracha to be choshesh for the Rambam's day. But I don't think the Mishnah Berurah says that. The Alter Rebbe doesn't bring that concept, though. Mashma, that according to the Alter Rebbe, you would still make a bracha. So apparently you would still make the bracha, yeah. That it doesn't work with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, though, because we learned in the first parak, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one kedusha. So if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin on Rosh Hashanah, then, or for that matter, if Yom Tov is Friday and Shabbos and you can't make it tonight either, then we're going to have to talk about what we talked about yesterday about being Soymach on the Rovs. If it was B'shogeg, if you just learn the Rambam straight, you're going to misunderstand the halacha, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not the only place, yeah. Fine. Tana Rabbanan. Ein oifin mi Yom Tov l'chaverin. You're not allowed to bake from one day of Yom Tov to the next. In general, you're not allowed to prepare any food from one day of Yom Tov to the next. Be'emes amru, however, in truth, be'emes means in truth. The Chachamim said, and the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that be'emes amru is halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Mimala isha kolak deira basa. A woman is allowed to fill up a whole pot full of meat. Even if she only needs one piece of it, because there it's all one tircha, you're not doing separate tirchas, and therefore such a thing is allowed. And similarly, a baker can fill up an entire barrel of water to make bread, even if he only needs one pitcher full. But as far as baking, he can only bake as much as he needs, because baking you need individually for each one. You have to roll it out, you have to shape it, etc., etc. Rav Shimon Elazar, on the other hand, Rav Shimon Elazar says no. Mimala isha kolatanu pas. A woman is allowed to fill up an entire oven full of bread. Because the bread gets baked better when the oven is full. How does that work? Rashi explained. So Rashi explains the ovens they had in those times were small, and they would stick the bread to the sides of the oven. The ovens themselves were shaped sort of like an upside down cup with narrower on top, and they would reach in from the top and stick in the dough around the side of the oven. So therefore, what happens is, the more bread you have in the oven, the less area there is for the heat to spread out. Therefore, the heat tends to get more concentrated. Therefore, the bread gets baked better. And the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, halacha k'rav Shimon ben Elazar." The halacha is, in fact, like him, so you're allowed to do that. One thing. The opening it up, there was an opening on the bottom, but that was more to put in the wood and to soak it and whatever. The bread they put in from the top. But in any case, actually, so now an interesting point.
When they take it out, they have to make it cooler.
So when they take it out, it was a skill to take it out, which is why the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Radiyas HaPas is Chochma, is a skill rather than a Malacha, right? But I was going to say, an interesting point is, you notice the Tanakhama mentioned a Nachtaim, a baker, whereas Rav Shimon ben Elazar is saying Isha, a woman. So what the difference is, because, again, like Rashi says, we're talking about a small oven. So Mephoshim say, in fact, that the point Rav Shimon Elazar wants to make by changing the terminology, he's implying this only works by a small oven. If it was a large one, so that the amount of bread in it doesn't make much of a difference as far as the amount of space the heat spreads in, then you're right. You wouldn't be able to do more than what you need for Yom Tov. Only because it's Isha, she's working in a home oven, which is small, only because of that do you have that heter. The pashtus and the large ovens, they also shmear it onto the side. Although you do have what the lechem apanim is different, but the truth is, the Gemara does actually mention in some places the Gemara mentions a type of oven called a puni, which is more like the ovens that we're familiar with, where you open them from the side, where you place the bread on the floor of the oven or on a rack on the floor of the oven or whatever, and you open it up from the side, which are more like our ovens.
But they're also heat intensifies with the hummus. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, more bread.
The more bread, so therefore the heat has less place to spread. Yeah. So maybe bakers tended to use a puni more. I don't know, but whatever. Okay. Ibayalahu. Mishlo hiniach eidav tafshilin. Now, what happens if a person didn't make an eidav tafshilin? We know that he can't prepare for Shabbos. But the question is, who neser v'kimchay neser? Is it that he's also to cook and bake for Shabbos on Yom Tov, and also his actual flour, his food, is also also? In other words, if he has flour or other food that hasn't been prepared yet, nobody else would be allowed to prepare it for him, and the only thing he can do is get himself invited out for Shabbos. Oydumo, who neser v'en kimchay neser? Maybe he's also too, but his flour is not. So if he can find somebody else to do the cooking and baking, his next door neighbor who can do the cooking and baking for him, then maybe it's fine. Then sorech laknuya kimche lacherim. So according to the girsa we have in front of us, which is Rashi's girsa, we'll talk about in a second what Tosfos says. So if we say that he and his flour are also, the only way around it would be to be makne his kemach, his flour, to somebody else. He wouldn't need to be makne it. We would say, in other words, that to be machne would be exactly that. He'd have to give his flour and whatever else as a gift to somebody else, and then they would do it, and then they would cook it and bake it. But if we say ein kimche neser, that's not necessary, then he can invite over somebody to cook and bake in his house with his own flour and whatever. The question is, how can you be machne on Yom Tov? Okay, but in this case,
Why can't you do it because
you have to mark, right? Because you've been in a place. But yeah. Over here, I mean, we learned in the previous parak, for example, you're allowed to give gifts on Yom Tov when they're the Tzorech Yom Tov. This is for Tzorech Yom Tov also. Keep in mind, when we learned before, the whole mechanism that Tosfos says, how Erev Tafshilin works, how are they able to be matir, Hachona Derabba, which is Daraisa, is because Hoyil, because conceivably you could get guests. You could have guests on Yom Tov, and you say, so therefore, so it is a Tzorech Yom Tov. Now, on the other hand, Tosfos says, one second, if you're saying Kimchei Neser, then how does giving it as a present take away that Isser? So therefore, Tosfos flips around the Girsa. If you say, Hu Neser, Ve'en Kimchei Neser, so fine, he gives it as a gift, and therefore that works. If you say that that he's able to give it as a gift, if you say, Hu Neser, Kimchei Neser, then you wouldn't be able to, the Kinyan wouldn't be effective. Okay. So what would be the din? Toshma, Mishlo hiniach eidav tafshilin. So we learn in a braisa, a person didn't make an eidav tafshilin. Hareza lo yoifev lo yivashel. He's not allowed to cook, he's not allowed to bake or cook. The law yakmin, he's not allowed to put away something to keep it, to insulate something to keep it hot. Loy loy veloy la'achirim, not for himself, not for somebody else. Veloy achirim oifenim avashnanay. Other people can't bake or cook for him either. Ketzaru oy. So what does he do? Makne kimchay la'achirim. He has to be makne his flour to somebody else. Veoifen loy mavashnanay. And those people can bake or cook for him. Shmamino hu neser v'kimchay neser. So you see, therefore, that really he and his flour are also, unless he's makne. Or according to Tosfos, it would be the other way around. According to Tosfos, you'd say hu neser v'ein kimchay neser. So therefore, that being makne his kemach works. Shmamino, so that proves it. So now the next question is, what if he was over on the takana of the chachamim? He didn't make an erev tavshilin. He wasn't makne as flour to somebody else. He himself went and cooked and baked. Is he allowed to eat that food on Shabbos? Toshma, mishlo hiniach erev tavshilin. Again, we just said the b'raisa, somebody who didn't make an erev tavshilin. Kate said, who was? So what should he do? Makne kimchay la'achirim. He makne his flour to others. Va'achirim oifen layum avashlim lay. And other people will bake or cook for him. And it seems from the b'raisa that that's the only way out. The e isa, if you're telling me that if he was over and cooked and baked and jumped up, then it is mutter, but the ever on Shabbos, listen of a mutter. Let the b'raisa say that flat out. Because it sounds like the b'raisa is trying to find us how a way out of the situation. The answer is Omer Abadaba Masna. Now that's not proof. Tana Takanta Dehetero Katoni. The Tana is only looking for a way that you can do it beheter. Takanta be Isura like Katoni. Sure, you could be over and the Takanas Chacham and do it, and maybe it is Mutter. But the Tana doesn't want to mention that because he doesn't want to give you an idea of how to do an Isur. But the food might well be Mutter in that case anyway. Tashma. Then person made an eid of tavshilin. So now he can cook and bake and do atmana. If he wants to eat his eruv afterwards, after he's done preparing, then he has the rishus to do that. However, as we learned yesterday, the minhag is on Friday, on erev Yom Kippur, as we learned. The minhag, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that you keep it until Shabbos and you eat it for Shalosh Shodes. The sicha that we wrote to lechol on Yom Tov itself, yeah, because once he's done preparing for Yom Tov, yeah. So we learned that the better you keep it for Shabbos and you eat it by Shalosh Shodes. We mentioned the sicha in Chelek Kesayin where the Rebbe analyzes at some length. What? Oh, it's for B'Shalach, after all. It is for B'Shalach, not Yisrael. It is B'Shalach, yeah. But it's there, and the Rebbe analyzes in some detail the whole concept of Erev Tavshilin based on our Gemara and based on other things, and then among other things deals with the question why there's the Inyan of eating at Dafka by Shalosh Shodes. The idea is because that enhances the kavod of Shabbos itself, and since we said that one of the reasons for Erev Tavshilin is to enhance the kavod of Shabbos, Zachreyu Me'achah Shabal Ashkichai, so therefore you have on Shabbos itself, you keep around the Erev Tavshilin, and then you use it for one of the Shabbos. So
they say. You should make it something
that you want to eat. Well, yeah. Okay. Next. Ochloi adshalei ofa, hitmin. What happens if a person ate the eruv before he baked or before he did hatmana? Or hagos habach adz adshalei boshal, before he cooked as well. Same idea. Hareza lo yoifa v'lo yivasha v'lo yatmin. Then he's not allowed to bake or cook or do atmana. Loy loy v'loy la'acherim. Not for himself, not for other people. V'loy acherim oifenim avashlin loy. Other people are not allowed to bake or cook for him. Avam avashal hu liyamdiv. But what he could do is he could cook for the rest of Yamdiv. V'im hoysir hoysir l'shabbos. Then if he has anything left of it, then he can use that for Shabbos. Ovovad shlo yarim. As long as he doesn't play a trick. A trick would be, for example, Rashi says, let's say he cooked enough for Yom Tov, and now he's going to say, you know what, wait, I need to still invite guests, and I need to make more food for them, and then he's going to make more food in order to have leftover for Shabbos. V'im harim also. So that would be also. Now, Rashi points out, what about, we just said, for example, you're allowed to make a whole pot of meat, and you only need one piece. Isn't that similar to Harama as well? No, the difference is, because, again, it's all one pot. So therefore, as we said, there's no greater tircha in it. So it's not like Harama.
An additional dish.
So actually, one thing it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, for example, is you can make different pots, each one with a different kind of food in it, and say that all of them I'm making for Yom Tov, and you eat some of it on Yom Tov, and then you may have leftover for Shabbos. But if you have the same dish in two different pots, that would be an example of this hadrama also. You're only making extra because you want to save it for Shabbos. Obviously, otherwise you would have just made it all in one pot. Rashi also mentions that we learned in the first perek that we had the example of a hadrama where of Adaba Abad did involving salting meat. We said he had meat that he needed to salt. He had meat that he needed to salt so it wouldn't spoil. But he doesn't need all of that meat for Yom Tov. He would do a harama and salt one piece at a time and say he'd salt one piece. And then he'd say, you know what, I changed my mind and I decided I want this other piece and salt that one and so forth. What's the difference? Why over there are we allowing harama and here not? Rashi says, because really, when you get down to it, it's not really such a malacha. Here we're talking about cooking, which is an actual malacha. They are really the malacha of ibud, of tanning, which is where we get the thing about salting, doesn't apply to food anyway. It's really only the problem there with the tircha. And after all, we still have the concern that we said in the first parak that sometimes we say, Dilma mimna v'shochit, he might avoid shechting altogether if he knows that much of the meat is going to spoil. So therefore, we're going to allow that kind of harama. You don't have that. Also, Tosfos points out the fact of the matter is, you know, first of all, Bishul is a malacha. Second of all, the fact is you could have made an Erev Tavshilin yesterday as opposed to with Adaba Ava and the meat that he's salting. What was the alternative? The animal wasn't checked yesterday. Anyway, continues. So the point is the Braisa is saying that if he did Harama, then it's also to eat. L'chura, we would assume that Harama is the same as Mezid, where he deliberately went and baked and cooked on behalf of Shabbos. So therefore, that would show that it's also. Amar Rav Ashi Harama Ka'amrit. Rav Ashi says, that's not a proof. You're talking about Harama? Shiny Harama, the Achmiru, Barabon, and Tzvei Mezid. You know what? Harama, the Chacham are more machmir on than regular Mezid. A person is Mezid and says on Yom Tov, I'm cooking for Shabbos, even though I know there's a Takonis Chacham. To the contrary, there maybe the Chacham are not going to penalize him. Fine, Rashi says, because he's a Rosh, a Lavra, a different Chachamim, so other people are not going to learn from him. So he himself is doing something wrong, but at least other people aren't going to learn from him. As opposed to the Marim, he's pretending like he's doing it for Heter. So he himself is never going to think to do Tshuva, and other people are going to learn from him. And then the whole concept of Erev Tavshilin is going to be forgotten. The Rambam phrases it somewhat similarly. He says that a person would do it deliberately and be Oivan Devar Chachamim is a rare thing. So therefore, we're not concerned he's going to do that in the future. As opposed to Harama, we're concerned he's going to do that again and again, and then the whole concept of Erev Tavshilin is going to be forgotten. So there's no proof, just because we hear him also, that we should also say that if B'mezid, he said, I'm making this food for Shabbos, that it should be also, maybe, maybe not. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Hamani Chananye. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says another possibility, this Braisa that we just quoted about that if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, then he can't cook or bake or do Atmana, that Braisa might be according to Chananya, Ba'al Libba de Beis Shammai. And it would be, in turn, Chananya is talking according to Beis Shammai, and therefore the halacha would not be like it anyway. Namely, so Beis Shammai in the Mishnah, we said they're machmer, and they say that, so the Tanya, Chananya Omer, Beis Shammai Omer, Chananya says that, Beis Shammai says, Ein Oifen Elim Ken Erev Bepas, you can't bake for Shabbos unless you use bread for your Erev Tavshilin. Ve'in mevashlin Elim Ken Erev Betavshil, you can't cook unless you use the Tavshil, a cooked dish, as part of your Erev. Ve'in Tomin Elim Ken Hayu Chamin Tmunin Me'erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do Atmana unless you add something Tomun before Yom Tov. So you need the same kind of thing. By the way, so what happens as far as hadlokas on there? L'chora, you need to also light candles for Shabbos. We don't mention over here that you have to have candles lit before Yom Tov. I mean, you light candles for Yom Tov anyway, but he's not mentioning that. However, one of the Rishonim says, I think the Shita B'Kubetzis maybe, says that's included since you're already allowed to light fire, or not light fire, but use fire for cooking, then automatically using fire to light Shabbos candles would also be included in that, even according to Chananya. You don't necessarily have candles lit for the purpose because you're anyway using fire. Whereas Basilo says that you can use one tavshil and do everything you want. So therefore, in other words, the previous Braisa, when we said that if you didn't make an Eruv, he can't cook and bake, etc., that might only be according to Chananya. not necessarily would Beis Hillel and the other Tanoim's version even of Beis Shammai, not necessarily would they agree with that. So maybe therefore the halacha would actually be that he would be allowed to cook for Shabbos. Then not that he'd be allowed to, but if he was over and cooked for Shabbos, that it would be mutter.
But Hillel also said that one thing he has to make an edit.
Fine, but the point is that the fact that we see that Machananya is being machmer and says you have to have everything the same kind, so therefore he's machmer, therefore that he's machmer more, right? Okay, Tanan, let's try to bring a proof from a Mishnah or changes it on the side over here to Toshma, where it is a Mishnah, but we're bringing it as a proof. Tanan usually is when the Gemara is bringing from our Mishnah and it's seeing does it fit with something that an Amora just said. Here we're not doing that. Here we're in the middle of bringing proof. So therefore, the appropriate phrase is Toshma. Hamaase peroise b'Shabbos. A person takes ma'ase from his fruit on Shabbos. B'shoigeg yoichal. If he did it b'shoigeg, then he can eat from that fruit on Shabbos. B'mezid lo yoichal. But if he did it b'mezid, he's not allowed to eat because you're not allowed to take truma and ma'ase on Yom Tov. So therefore, on the same logic, wouldn't we say by the same token, if he cooked on Yom Tov for Shabbos without having made an eid of tashilin, that it should be also to eat? The answer is the Islay Periachrin. Not necessarily, because that Mishnah might be talking about where he has other fruit available. So therefore his Oinig Shabbos is not going to be compromised by not having that fruit, because he has other fruit available. Here we're talking about he has no other food for Shabbos. So it's not for no fruit. Toshma, Hamatvil Caleb B'Shabbos, a person toivels his Kalim on Shabbos, which we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, that you're not allowed to toivel Kalim, and the Gemara on it, that you're not allowed to toivel Kalim on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. B'Shogeg Yishtamish Ben, if he did it B'Shogeg, he can use those Kalim on Shabbos. B'Mezid Lo Yishtamish Ben, if he did it B'Mezid, then not. So you see again that if the same thing that it would apply there, the Pashtus would apply to cooking. And the answer is, L'Tzricha De'Islay Mone Achrini. Again, the answer could be that he has other Kalim. Inami Efshe B'Shela, or another difference is when it comes to Kalim, you can borrow. When it comes to food, you can't borrow because the pastures everybody made as much as they themselves need. But Kalim, you can borrow. Toshma, Hamavashal B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yoichal. If a person cooks on Shabbos B'Shogeg, then he can eat it on Shabbos itself. B'Mezid Lo Yoichal, but if he cooked it B'Mezid, then he's not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So you see again that B'mezid, he can't. So L'chodo, the same thing would be if he does. The same thing would be if he cooked on Yom Tov B'mezid for Shabbos. The answer is that's different. He's sort of a Shabbos shiny. It's different in Isser of Shabbos because that's an Isser, that's an Av Malacha. So therefore, maybe then the Chacham are going to penalize B'mezid. But after all, if he cooked on Yom Tov for Shabbos, really, he's only being over on an Isser D'Rabbanan. Yes, we brought Pesukim at the beginning of the Perek about that, Esa, Shatofu, Eifu, and whatever, but those are our smachtas. Really, on Yom Tov, you would be allowed to cook for, Shabbos. At least that's according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, Achona D'Rabba. Maybe not, but still, the point is that this particular thing, that still, an Isser of Shabbos is more chomer than Isser of Yom Tov. So the Maisa, therefore, the Gemara has not concluded. The Gemara has not concluded what the din would be. So you have different opinions of Rishonim on that subject. Are we going to be Mekel, because after all, it's a Suffolk Dirabanan, it's Suffolk Dirabanan Lakula, or are we going to be Machmir because we see in all these other cases we're Machmir? Oh, before I get to that, actually, the question is, Mefoshim asks, When we just tried to bring a proof from Hamavashal B'Shabbos, what was the Machshid even thinking? Doesn't he realize that Shabbos and Yom Tov is two different things, and how can he ask from one on the other, and one's Daraisa and one's Rabbanan? And there's a few answers, one of them being, we know generally called a Tokun Rabbanan, came Daraisa Tokun, when the Chacham make a Tekana, it's usually modeled on the Din Daraisa. So therefore, if we were to say Hamavashal B'Shabbos, it should be also, maybe Hamavashal B'Yom Tov should be also as well. And the Gemara says not necessarily. So the Maisa said we haven't come to a conclusion. Rishonim do disagree what the halacha is. Would he be allowed to eat that food on Shabbos or not? The Maisa said in Shulchan Aruch it paskins to be matter because it is after all a suffix that Rabbanan. The Alter Rebbe brings it also, although it's interesting. Now the halachas of Erev Tavshilin are all in one simen in Simen Tav Kuf Chav Zayin in Hilchas Yom Tov. This particular din, you look for it in Tav Kuf Chav Zayin in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, you won't find it. Instead, you'll find it in Tav Kuf Gimel together with the halachas of not cooking from one day of Yom Tov for the next. The Alter Rebbe does also mention, though, which is brought a concept based on a Gemara that we're going to learn in a few days, Be'ez Hashem, on Daf Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, that there is also a concept. Now, what happens? What happens? You have a person who made an eight of who didn't make an eight of tefillin. He doesn't have anybody around to be makne his flour to, who's going to be able to make the food for him. And let's say he doesn't want to be over on divrei chachamim. Let's say he doesn't want to be mevashel b'mezid and say that. So what can he do? What alternative does he have in order to prepare for Shabbos? So it does say we do allow him to make kedei chayav. So you can make like one pot of food, cook one loaf of bread, or so he has bread for Shabbos, light one candle, that kind of thing. We do allow him that minimum in that case, even if he didn't make an eight or tough shilling. To make more than that, that not. So that he'd need to be maknez flour or be soymach on somebody else's eight or etc. We said in the Mishnah, Bishama Omim Shnei Tavshilin. Bishama says that Bishama says you need two Tavshilin. And Basilo says you need only one. The Gemara says, Masnissin Deloiki Hai Tana. It comes out then that our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Omer of Shimon Alaza, Moidim Bishama and Basilo Shnei Tavshilin Tavshilin. Both Bishama and Basilo agree that you need two Tavshilin for eight of Tavshilin. Now, we said in the Mishnah that you need two tavshilin, but we said both Bishama and Bishil agree that a fish with an egg glaze is considered two tavshilin. Now, Rav Shimon Elazar is saying exactly the opposite. They both agree you need two tavshilin, and the Machlokes says, Dogo Beit HaSholav, Shabbishama Omim Shnei Tavshilin. Bishama says that you still need two tavshilin. In other words, that counts as only one, and you need a second one. But Bishalemim, Tavshil Echad, Ms. Hillel says it's enough to have one tavshil like that. That counts as two tavshilim. Tosfos understands. Tosfos says the loshen doesn't really fit very well. So Tosfos flips around the girsa. Ms. Shammai says tavshil echad. It only counts as one tavshil, and you still need a second one. And Ms. Hillel says it counts as two tavshilim, and therefore you're good. So our Mishnah is not going like that. The Shabin, however, both the Shama and the Silil do agree, Shem Pirpur Bates of the Nasan Lasechadog, if he crumbled up a hard boiled egg and put it on the fish or into the fish, or he should risk kafloites for Nasan Lasechadog, or he crushed leeks and put them into the fish, Shem Shnei Tavshilin, that for sure would be two Tavshilin. The egg glaze is tightly attached to the fish, so therefore it counts as, according to the Shama, as only one. But these things are separate. The Tosfos Rid brings an interesting idea. He says maybe the dog or Beitza Sha'olav is actually, when we say Beitza Sha'olav, he says maybe it means the eggs of the fish themselves, that you make the fish with the egg itself. So therefore, it's considered, according to Bishamay, one tapshil. Whereas here, we're talking about a Beitza as in a regular chicken egg or a bird or any other bird or any other kosher bird egg, whatever. So that for sure would be counted as two tapshil. Omar Rabba, Hilchas of Tani Didan, Val Libid the Basil. The halacha is like the Tana of Om Mishnah, that Basil says one tapshul is enough, not like Rav Shimon Elazar. Val Libid the Basil, and like Basil, that you only need one tapshul. Now, then you get into the question then, so why is it? So we discussed when we began the Perek on Erev Yom Kippur, why is it that we need bread as well? So actually, so Tosfos says, never, the fact is, we had at the beginning of the Perek, we had Rabbi Eliezer telling us that. In Oifin Elim Kane, he brought from a Pasuk Esa Shatofu Eifu, that in Oifin El Allah Offer, Yvain Mavashin El Allah Mavoshal, etc. The halacha, Rabbeinu Tam says, is like that. Therefore, you need bread as well. When we're talking about one tavshil versus two tavshilin, we're talking about the tavshil portion of it. We're not talking about that you don't additionally need bread as well. So in other words, Rabbeinu Tam says that Tosfos would say that actually what you need is the same way as Bishama would say, according to Hananya, we said before, Ein toimnin elim kein hoyu lechamin tmonin. So in other words, you need something corresponding to each thing you're going to do. So Basil is saying you can have one tavshil, and then you can do anything involving tavshilin. So once you have a tavshil, you can automatically do atmana on the basis of that. But to bake, you'd need something separate. You'd need bread. Tosfos continues. The Reed disagrees with that. And for on a number of grounds. However, he says, Loimala ani, the last two lines of Tosfos, Loimala ani libi lava divrei doidi. I don't have the breit kite to go argue with my uncle. The Reed was Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. Therefore, you need two. Therefore, you need a pass and a tabshel v'chein am advar, and that's how people do it. L'maisa, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you do have to do that. However, if you only did a tabshel, then b'dieved you're able to continue. You're able to cook and bake on the basis of that. The read is Rabbeinu Yitzchak. He actually toasts it. It's spelled out. Yeah, he actually toasts it. It's actually spelled out, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. But yeah, that's the Riyazokin. This is the Riyazokin. They have all over in Toast. Yeah. So therefore, so you need bread and you need a tavshil. You also have, by the way, an interesting point in that is when we make the Eruv, afterwards we say the paragraph with B'den Yehei Shara. Now, is that strictly necessary or not? What if you made the Eruv and you didn't say anything at all? You just made the Bracha Amitzas Eruv and that's that. It depends. Some poskim learn that's fine. Other poskim learn, and both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch, that no, because even though the halacha is not like Hananiah and like this Shammai, that you need a separate tavshil for each one, you do need to mention at least the things that you're going to be doing on the basis of this. In particular, you need to mention the things that you're not setting something specially aside for as part of the Erev Tavshilin. You have to mention, for example, Latmune, you have to mention to Hatmona and Ladluke Shraga, to light a candle, because after all, you're not specifically doing things for those. So therefore, at least you have to mention those two things. And if not, then you can't do Atmana and you can't light candles. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that and it says that you should be machmir like that. And therefore, you attack after say the B'den Yehei Shara. And of course, if you don't understand that Amish, then you say it in whatever language you understand. Okay, we said, Ochloi Osha Abad. What happens if the person ate the Eruv Tavshilin or it was lost? Hareza lo Yavashal Olav Kula. Then he can't cook on behalf of it on Shabbos because it's gone. For Shabbos because it's gone. Amar Abaya Naktina. And however, Abaya says, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim. If the person began a batch of dough and then the Eruv was eaten, goymer, then he can finish it because the Eruv existed before. Now, there you have him. Acholikus Rishonim. Does that mean that only he can finish up that particular batch that he was working on? Or does it mean that now that we said that now they began his Yom Tov preparation based on the Eruv Tavshilin, the Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov based on the Eruv Tavshilin, that now maybe he can continue with the rest of his preparation? You have different Rishonim on different sides of that question. The halacha, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that no, you're allowed to finish the particular thing that you started, and the Magen Avraham gives, not just dough, for example, the Magen Avraham gives an example. Let's say you cut up vegetables for a soup, then you're allowed to finish that soup. But not the other things that you haven't started on yet. Yeah. Okay. You have to be careful not to eat the Eruv, right? Until Shabbos, yeah.